Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest Meet the Manager video and podcast of the 2022-23 season with Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Joe, and in this series we interview an FPL manager with an interesting story to tell or has an exceptional record in the game. This time we got both. This time around we're speaking to professional footballer Jordi van der Laan. Now have I pronounced that correctly? And Jordi,
yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, that's very well. Oh, very well.
That's good. That's good. My time spent occasionally with Dutch people has paid off.
we usually say, if you get to England, they say like Jordi, but it's, yeah, we just pronounce it Jordi.
I did get it wrong.
I'm used to both. So I've been in Australia. So yeah.
Okay. No, I shall be a native and Jordi. I shall say. How are you? You are a professional footballer, but you were a professional footballer. You're now an amateur footballer. Various things have happened, particularly with injuries as well. So tell us a bit about your football career, where you started, where you've been, and where you are now.
A long time ago, very long time ago, I was in the Academy of PSV Eindhoven. Mm-hmm. But that's very long time ago. So when I went to senior football, I was just playing amateur league, which I'm doing now as well. But in between, when I was 24, mm-hmm. I scored a couple of goals at a good amateur level. Then I went to play professionally in Holland.
Okay.
That was 4 years ago. But since then, I got injured. I've had a lot of injuries since then. Before, I was never injured, so it's been a bit shit.
Okay.
now I'm back to playing in amateur leagues.
Okay. Yeah. So during the time as well, over the last year or so, you've been in the Australian second tier.
Yes.
With Bentley Green. Sorry.
Bentley Green. Yes.
Once again, so injury sort of curtailed that as well. And you also play for Telstar, and we'll come to that in a second in the Dutch leagues.
I know what's going to happen now.
And you're currently playing in the fourth tier of the Dutch league system, and you're which is a sort of amateur level. I want to go to Telstar. So from Wikipedia, which is the font of all knowledge. So yeah, it said that you you made your debut for Telstar in Dutch leagues in 2018. But in May 2019, your contract was terminated after you falsely reported as sick to training so that you could attend a semi-final match in the Champions League with Spurs and Ajax. And you were there with Fantasy Football Scout's very own Will Timbers, and you were spotted. You were photographed there. I've sort of explained the basics of what happened, but yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, that's pretty much the basics. What happened? I've known Will since back then. I think a year back then, I knew he was a Spurs fan. I'm a big Ajax fan myself.
Yeah.
But I played for Telstar, and Ajax were obviously that season very good in the Champions League. They reached the semi-finals, and my own season wasn't going very well. It was the season I got injured for. While I've had more injuries, but like really minor, and the season at Telstar, I was injured for a long period for the first time in my life, from October until February, the end of February, if I remember correctly. And then I got back, but we won a couple of games. So it was tough for me to get back in the side. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the best relationship with the head coach.
Okay.
So at the end of the season, yeah, Ajax was in the Champions League semi-final, and Will messaged me that he had a ticket for the semi-final in London. And I thought by myself, well, yeah, I have to train. We have a game in, on Friday. Not that I missed the game, but yeah, I had to skip training. And I thought, well, if we play for something with Telstar, so if we can still reach anything, then I won't go, even though I knew I wasn't going to play. So there was one league game left. I'll go to something. What prior to that, there were two league games left.
Okay.
And I was on the bench, and I was on the bench for the full game. And we could still win a period. I'm not sure if you say it like that in England. So we could still win the last period. And we were 1-1 against Volendam. And I was on the bench for the full game, which I didn't expect because I came on as a sub the week before and I did very well. But we drew 1-1 and then we didn't have something to play for anymore.
Okay.
And I still, in the back of my mind, I knew that Will had a ticket for me. So we had one league game left. And I was like, yeah, what do I do? Chances of me starting are basically zero. We don't play for anything anymore. I can possibly come on as a sub, but like 10 minutes max, it was, So
you made an executive decision.
I made a decision to go to Spurs. That was the decision to make first, but then you think by yourself, how am I going to do that? Because, you have to train, obviously. So I thought, like I said, I didn't have the best relationship with the coach. So I knew if I was going to ask him, that he would have said, that's not going to happen. So I was like, Champions League semi-final, London. What do? So I called in sick. That's, basically what happened. And then I traveled to London on Monday. I called in sick on Sunday night. I traveled to London on Monday. And the game was on Tuesday. So, I was kind of nervous still, even when I was in London. Like, you called in sick, but you still have to call in again for Tuesday and even Wednesday. And then on the Tuesday night, the game was on television, of course, all around the world.
Yeah.
And I was, I sat front row with Will. And I got spotted like three, four times at least.
On the big screen.
Yeah, on the big screen. Oh, no. And it was also because Will was doing the there was a foul on the pitch, of course. Will was doing the VAR sign on the seat.
Yeah.
And that's the replay they showed first, I think. So, and I was next to Will, and they show Will, but I was standing next to alongside him. So
did you see yourself on the big screen at the time as well?
No, you mean in the stadium?
Yeah.
No.
Because that would have been that heart sink moment. Of just smiling away.
That was first half.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, even before the game, Will asked me when I was still in the Netherlands. He asked me, "Do you want to sit front row with me, or do you want to sit upper tier somewhere else?" Because I think he had a friend or his brother.
Yeah.
Who also had a ticket, and he said, "Well, if you sit front row, the chances of you being spotted are obviously bigger than when you sit the upper tier." And I was like, "There are like more than 60,000 people in the stadium. What are the chances that I get spotted?" So I said, "Let's sit front row." I mean, Champions League semifinal, and that's what happened first half, and then at halftime, my phone just kept on ringing, and the messages kept on coming in, and I was like, I said to Will, "I think we've been spotted because this is crazy." So I checked my phone and I had like, more than 300 messages from different people all around the world, from Mexico, Denmark, really all around the world went crazy. And that's the moment I got a text.
So how was the second half for you? Because you must have known that you were be in trouble with your employees. Did you just think, I'll just enjoy this anyway?
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it anyway because Ajax were in front. So Ajax even won that game. Don't ask me about the return game. But Yeah, it was funny even then. I mean, the group from Telstar with the group of players only, they were just laughing and everyone just went like, "What the fuck happened?" So it was crazy. It was really crazy. Yeah.
That's quite a story, really.
But
I mean, we spoke a bit before we came on. You laughed about it at the time. You're laughing about it now as well. And I guess, I mean, that is something, that is an anecdote that very few footballers can give. And it's it is quite funny.
It is quite funny. I can see the funny side of it even then. I mean, it's not necessarily the way you want to be in the news because, I went viral all around the world. I went on Dutch television. And I explained my story in one program. There were lots of different people from different programs wanted to have me on the table or wherever. But I said, no, I'm going to do it once. And I don't want to walk around and say, hey, I'm that guy.
Well, luckily you're partly that guy, but you're also that guy because this is a fantasy football show. And you're here because you have very, very rarely we have this. We have had it once. Last season, where we get a former or current professional footballer who is actually good at fantasy football as well. And I always find that interesting because you have an insight into what's happening on the pitch. You have an insight into more of the strategy and tactics and how managers and players' minds work as well. So, you know, what it means for a striker actually not to score for a while or etc. Let's have a look at your FPL career and I guess one of the key questions I'll ask, I'll just read it out just for the benefit of those listening to the podcast. This shows that you've got three finishes within the top 10,000, and that includes last season. So that's very good considering there was 9 million or so playing last season. So it's 9,000 rank, 7K, and best of all, 2016. 55, so top 100, which is quite good, and lots of other good scores, lots of others within the top 100k as well, top 50k scores. So you've got a very strong track record there in the game since you've been playing since 2011. The immediate question is, being a footballer, can you think of any examples, or how has being a professional footballer helped you as a fantasy manager as well?
I used to think, like, I got a question before, like a couple of years ago. And back then I thought, you think it helps you really well or it helps you big time. But I think nowadays there's such a evolvement of the game of fantasy itself. And even like in football, like you got data analytics everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, every single movement, every single thing that happens on the pitch gets tracked, and you know. So I think back in the days, I did have a slight edge being a footballer.
All of that expected goals and the, you know, how often
those kind of things. Passes, yeah.
You were already familiar with those stats anyway.
Familiar with it, like when I was a professional footballer, because we didn't use that, or we didn't use those kind of things, and especially at my level. I think that's something that's really has arisen like the past 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
When I watched the games back then, say 4 years ago, you think you have an edge. You watch the game and you think you sort of analyze what can happen, who's playing where, if a player gets injured, can you think of a player who immediately replaces him who has a low price in FPL? You start to relate those kind of things. But now, the game has evolved so much and everything gets tracked down. Everything is on Twitter nowadays. Mm. So, if you think you think you got the player that's sort of a differential, what I call it, he isn't that anymore in a week.
So you've got to get quick with that edge there. I was thinking back to this 2016 season. What happened there? Because you've had strong ranks before, but getting into the top 100. That is takes something. That's something I've never. I've got into the top 1,000, but top 100, that's another level.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the next step there. So how did that happen? I'm presuming it can't just be luck.
Well, if I look back at it now, I definitely realize I've been lucky back then. And when it's been 2016, 17 or the season before. Yeah. So when I finished 55th, I was like, oh, I've done really well this year. And I remember my last move was Liverpool won the final game of that season 2-0. And I picked, I bought Joel Matip, I think, hoping for a 15-pointer. Yeah. But in the end, he just got 6 for a clean sheet, which was good as well. But you're hoping to break into the top 10 or whatever. I can't remember my odds of those, of that. But that's another point. I sort of regret not having the moves I made from that season available anymore. So somewhere, so I have it on a forum somewhere. I wrote it down. Ah. So that's kind of my regret. But
it's a long time ago. You know, the season at hand is the key one, I guess.
Yeah. But I also remember I broke down my season then. I just took a look, take a look back, and there were players like Sanchez, Alexis Sanchez. I think it was Hazard as well, and Harry Kane. And I started to write down when I owned him and when I didn't own him. And even in the season I finished 55th, I was like, oh, there's such a, I could have owned them for way more points. I could have reached way more, but it's something that, how do you say that? There was way more potential even then.
Cause you're 28 now. Is that right?
Yes, 28.
28. So, my quick maths means you're a teenager when you started playing.
Yeah,
But you were going through the youth system of professional football at that time as well.
No, that was way before. That was until I was 13, I think, and then I went back to an amateur club.
Okay,
so youth system of an amateur club.
Still playing football at a good level then.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering about being a. Because you sometimes see, with professional teams at the moment in the Premier League, they have their own leagues as well. You know, in any of the clubs that you were in at around that time, those early days, 2011 onwards. At your clubs, did you have club leagues, and were they quite competitive as well in FPL, or did they not do it just because they were in the Dutch league and weren't?
No, I've barely experienced someone in my team that plays FPL. I sort of got into the game because of a local pub, and that's actually where I started as well, playing the game, and then you have conversations with the people from the pub. And my friends are like, you are so addictive, addicted to the game, and they don't play themselves. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of clubs myself, so you experience always there are some people that play the game, but not as fanatic as I do.
Because that's what I was thinking about, really, just how, so they're quite different. Your FPL career, your fantasy football career, and your real life football career are quite separate, really. I just think now what's your position? You're midfielder.
I'm a striker.
Yeah. And but are you moving back into no, you're a striker. So being a striker, are you paying particular attention to strikers or are you looking at all the players? I'm thinking more mentality, really, because a striker's obviously it's all about scoring goals, and so you know what it's like to be a striker not scoring, or being on the bench, or being on the pitch and scoring lots.
I've experienced everything, basically.
So how do you, so for example, I mean, at the moment, strikers are doing very well. But last year, strikers weren't doing very well in the Premier League and in Fantasy Premier League. So do you look at those and think, are there any... I just wonder, like, for example, this season, are there any sort of fellow strikers that you see who are perhaps either scoring well or not scoring well, and you think, yeah, it could be a change. You've got, I don't know, you've got some kind of empathy with whatever they're going through at the moment.
Well, it's also like, I mean, for FPL, you don't really, you do actually pay attention to strikers, let's call it form or their mentality. But for FPL, you're purely paying attention to points. You want maximize your points. Yeah. And that's, you do that by having players that score goals, but they don't necessarily have to perform well on the pitch. So, let's say the difference in last season, because that's what you mentioned earlier, last season the strikers weren't like really attractive for FPL. No. That was also purely that was also got to do with the mechanism of the game. Like now, how are they priced? How are midfielders performing relative to the strikers? And now it seems, the mid price strikers like Tony Mitrovic, they do way better than the mid price strikers from last season. And
so this season as a striker, I mean, we all see, that we can see obviously who's scoring goals and we can see the stats and watch the highlights. But for you this season, who are the strikers that have impressed you? And I'm presuming you're going to say Haaland, but you might not. Just in general, in all clubs, from relegation possibilities, mid-table to top teams, who are the strikers that you have got your eye on?
Are you talking about the game now or just like how are they performing for their club?
In both, because I'm presuming if you're looking at them in terms of, that's a striker that I believe is going to score lots, then presumably they're going to be good in FPL.
That's true. Yeah. But then on the other hand, you have Ivan Toney, who I've been really impressed with, like what he does on the pitch and how he plays for his team. Mm-hmm. And he's very strong in the air. He has a brilliant free kick. His penalties are insane. But then, when you look at his numbers, and I wouldn't say mocked him, but like last season, at the start of last season, he was very attractive in FPL, and his price rose like four or five times, even while he scored like one goal in 5 weeks. So I kind of mocked him on Twitter because of his price rises and everyone picking him while he didn't score. But he's also he always struck me as a really good player on the pitch.
Okay.
His numbers, on the other hand, when you look at his XG, comparing his XG to other similar priced players in the FPL, then you're like, he's less attractive than you think. Although it's been, I think his numbers are very much improved.
He's in the England squad now for the first time.
As well, yeah. So that's clearly... he deserves that. Okay. Yeah.
So he could be a player that not only, I mean, already, he's in a number of sides and he's getting points as well as real life football. But do you think that that's something that can be, injury aside, that could be sustained throughout the season?
Yeah, well, he has improved his numbers and I think Brentford has improved as a club as well.
Okay.
But then, it's relative to other players for picking him in FPL, and you look at the fixtures, big time. So that's he was in consideration to be in my to be included in my wildcard team last week. But in the end, I didn't go for him because of preferring other fixtures from other strikers like Mitrovic. And in the end, I went for the double up with Kane and Haaland. Mm-hmm. I had like Tony, Solanke, and Isaac for the third striker spot,
Okay, well, we'll come to, because I'll be asking a few questions about strikers. I've got Isaac And he might be injured. We don't know, but so we might be looking at a replacement.
Yeah, it might be an international injury, but yeah.
just before we have a look at your bus squad that you're going into, that you've got to play with for going into game week 9. Just to timestamp this, because these videos are very much you can look at them anytime, really. Yeah. This is going into game week 9 on the 22-23 season, just as a snapshot of your thinking. But just while we do that, I just wanted to, what's your general attitude to risks? I know after what we spoke about your time at Telstar, I'm assuming in life you might have a risk-taking attitude, but in FPL, are you a risk-taker, or are you straight down the line, no hits and that type of thing?
Talking about a couple of years ago, I used to take a lot of hits. Okay. Because I just calculated them, whether they would work on a 2 or 3 week basis. You plan forward. I've always planned forward for like 5-6 mm-hmm. weeks. But then when I was taking hits, you calculate the -4 you think is this player going to outscore that player in the next 2 weeks, or so it was really short-term thinking.
Okay.
But now as an FPL manager, I think I've developed, at least you start to understand more things about the game, and like we discussed before, there's way more available. Mm-hmm. So now I'm a bit more averse and a bit more patient. I wouldn't say I'm against hits, definitely not, because I still like the punts, and but yeah, then again, it's always dependent on one's team and the situation you're in. You have to adapt to the circumstances, and the circumstances could let you play more aggressively. But yeah, it's, do you have injuries? Do you have players who've lost their spot? Are there blanks and double game weeks on the horizon? So it's always, I would say it's a bit of a standard stuff, really. But yeah, in a normal situation, I tend to take fewer hits than before.
Okay.
This podcast is sponsored by Paramount Plus, where Champions League soccer is back. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration starts on September the 6th with the biggest stars and top teams across Europe. Watch every match from the group stage through to the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against the likes of Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona and more. Don't miss a single second with Paramount Plus starting from September the 6th.
Well, let's have a look at your game week 9 squad. So what I've done is I've put it as a squad, and then you so people on the video can see that. And I'll just run through the players, and then you can tell me what sort of formation you're looking at, who are you looking to captain, so on. So you've just wildcarded, and you've wildcarded game week 8, and you've got Everson and Pope. And then at the back, you've got James, Cancelo, Trippier, and you've got Cher and Perisic as well. So quite a strong back line. Martinelli, Bowen, Maddison, Paqueta and Bailey in midfield. And then you've got Mitrovic, Haaland and Kane. So the picture you sent to me indicated you're looking at a sort of 3-4-3. But there's you've got a lot of good players that are going to be on your bench, I presume. So who are you looking to play, and who are you looking to bench?
It's dependent on what happens during the international break, of course. Let's start with the goalkeepers. It's Iverson in goal.
You're not happy? You think Ward's going to go?
Well, that's also the reason I picked him last week. Yeah, I was hoping for Ward to get dropped. Because this was actually bang on the money for me. This was like I got nothing in the bank.
Right.
So there was the difference between Ward and Iverson was useful. I thought the rotation for Leicester and Newcastle would work until the World Cup. For example, this week I got Mitrovic obviously starting at home against Newcastle, and then you think, do you want to play Pope? Well, if you got Iverson at home to Nottingham Forest, then you want to play him if he plays. But then the rest of my squad, it's just dependent on what happens. You have to guess if will Perisic start against Arsenal. Will he be worth it even then? I think I got Perisic on the bench now.
Yeah.
And Cher and Bailey.
Bailey. Yeah. So it's a 3-4-3. Haaland for the armband, or are you thinking of another?
Well, it's got to be him, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
right.
unless you go for a Liverpool player at home to Brighton, but yeah. How will De Zerbi set up? And I've kind of accepted that I'm not owning any Liverpool players this week. Yeah. Also because they have Arsenal and City after, I think. So yeah, but I went against Haaland for his hat trick against Forest.
Yeah.
Which one? Yeah.
I was going to say.
And I also captained Salah away to Everton when Haaland scored against Villa. So
yeah.
People say you shouldn't like really pay attention to those kind of things, but always in the end, somewhere in the back of your head, you are like, it's not going to happen again. So you are going to Captain Haaland the next time. But yeah, I don't own Salah, so it's not a decision now.
You're happy with Haaland. And then when Haaland misses a fixture in game week 12, I think it is, when the Arsenal game's postponed. if you've still got a similar squad here, you're happy to put the armband on Kane then?
I was also looking at like moves ahead, of course. Not necessarily plan anything, but I was looking at Kane to Solanke.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere down the line, don't know when, but just to free up funds to get up some Liverpool players back in game week 12 or 13 at home to West Ham, or 1 week later. So I'm not sure if I own Kane for much longer, even though he's performed very well this season. I put out a tweet like 2 or 3 weeks ago. He dropped the price twice, Kane, I think, or once back then.
Yeah.
This season, over the entire season, while he's performing better than in his best ever season for Spurs, FPL wise, and in that season he rose like at least 1 mil from 11 to 12 or something. So that's just that's the Haaland effect.
I've got Isak who may be injured, he might not, but there was a lot of people were a lot of the analytics lads and lasses were concerned with his low expected goal stats in the last game, but he did score a penalty and he walked away with 9 points. That didn't particularly put me off because I thought Bournemouth handled him quite well. Did you get the impression with that? Or do you have question marks over Isak as an FPL asset? Or do you think that was perhaps more of a case that Bournemouth are actually better defensively than we think?
I don't think there's a plain answer for that because the sample size for Isak in a Newcastle shirt is like way too small and they're a different team than Sociedad. But yeah, you're trying to relate things with the information available. But I agree that he sort of, I wouldn't say disappointed, but he wasn't as involved as you would have hoped. So as an owner against Bournemouth, but Bournemouth sat down really deep. So it's always dependent on the circumstances. But in the end, he walked away with a 9-pointer. I think Trippier had the ball in his hands for the penalty, or he would have liked to take it as well.
Really? I didn't spot that.
I think I'm not entirely sure about that, but that's, I think some people saw it, but I haven't read about it anymore after. So,
you would know this more being a player, that sometimes they do that to put off a goalkeeper. A player that's definitely not going to take the penalty will pick up the ball and appear to do it and then just hand it to the actual penalty taker.
Yeah, I think don't Brighton do that? Or at least they like. They put themselves in the situation to keep other players away from the penalty taker. And I think that's a good idea. I mean, if it works out, to come back to Isak, it was a good penalty nonetheless. But looking forward, I think he's compared to Tony and Mitrovic and. I'm not sure what we got more on that price range.
Okay.
But I'd like to see more from him. But it's also, I tripled up on Newcastle defense. So
okay, so yeah.
It was either, the Newcastle triple up or Isak, but then you downgrade Kane. So yeah,
You mentioned Solanke as well. So that's another player I've got my eye on because Bournemouth's fixtures are very good. But I don't know much about Solanke because obviously it's been a long time since he was at this level. And you know, for a long period of time, and he was obviously in the Championship last season. But is there anything about Solanke as a striker that you think that he could actually give us some good returns for the good fixtures they've got?
Yeah, the good fixtures, especially because I wasn't, when he was in the Prem previously, I wasn't really convinced by him. But I mean, he gets older. He gets a year older every year. Plays in the Championship, he scored lots of goals. I think he finished second behind Mitrovic for the goal scoring chart. So yeah, I mean, he must be a good striker then. And coming back to the Prem, they now got a couple of very good fixtures until the World Cup. He's priced below six now. He started at six, I think. So he's now 5.7.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, he could be really, really good value for those fixtures. But in much of Bournemouth this season, so I can't really tell. Yeah, what he convinced me about. They weren't against Forest, and the assist he got was like it's a small sample, of course, but the XG of it was it was a very good goal. So it was low XG, and I'm turning into a manager who likes to see numbers and
just a couple of things. You indicated when in the pitch you sent over that Maddison might be is your vice captain. I have actually put the captain on him and then off again and on again. I actually think he's really good against Forest. What is it about Maddison that you think would be good, not just against Nottingham Forest, but just as a player? I mean, because he's scoring goal and he's a midfielder.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a fixture again, isn't it? So Forest at home. I don't know. Leicester are in a bit of disarray, but he's still, even against Spurs, he put up some good numbers. Okay. He was involved, but it always starts with the fixtures. So Leicester have good fixtures. Bournemouth have good fixtures. Madison and Solanke have. Relative to the price, good underlying stats from previous seasons. And then you got to relate it to what is available. Liverpool players, Chelsea players all weren't appealing because of their blank. Liverpool play Arsenal, City soon. United, same thing. Mm. So, that's why I ended up with such a midfield, like mostly mid-price players, even Paqueta in there. Was a bit of a punt.
I was going to come to that. Not only got Paqueta, but you've got Bowen as well. So you've got those two West Ham players, but we're not seeing any form from either them or West Ham as a team. So, I mean, I don't own them, and I feel when I look at FPL Twitter that I should have one because their fixtures are so good, and lots of people like yourself have got these West Ham players, but I'm not seeing anything yet. What are you seeing to double up on them?
Yeah, well, I agree with that. Let's first say Paqueta was a bit of a pun. I had exactly six mil available, and combined with their fixtures again, I was like, okay, he's shown good numbers in Ligue 1 and in the Ligue 1 in France and even at AC Milan, I think. So Paqueta was a bit of a punt. I'm already looking at maybe turning him into Zaha soon, but you gotta have the funds. And Bowen was like, I mean, we've all seen what Bowen can do last season. And then you just try to be the first one to have him when he starts banging them in. I mean, you can't really, it's hard to tell when a player starts a goal scoring run and when he finishes one. So you gotta go for the numbers. He's shown very good numbers last season. He's sort of, because Antonio was really hot last season at the start. And then, you could slowly see a pattern emerging that Bowen was starting to become really good. Now you just sort of guessing Bowen will come good with the fixtures.
And so overall with this team here going in, because we got a World Cup in game week 16, so it's only going up to then. So the long term plan is possibly Kane down to someone like Solanke or
yeah.
and then using that money perhaps to get, say, Salah or
KDB? Yeah, well, some Liverpool players, probably. Yeah, Liverpool players in game week 12 or 13. I also want to see first how... so now all four players for Liverpool are fit. Yeah. So you want to see how that how that goes, how that evolves. I'm very intrigued by Nunez. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily what he does on the pitch, because I'm not convinced by him for 400 million. But when he played, he's been really threatening, and that's how I started this conversation. You want players who score goals, not those who perform well football wise.
Definitely.
See how that evolves for Liverpool, and then pick your player.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining me. It's been a fascinating insight into that perspective of playing a real life football and the fantasy football. I'm way too old and rubbish to play real life football. That's why I do fantasy. But you can do both.
I feel the same now. But I'm sure it starts to get better soon. So.
I just want to, before we go, just remind everyone to do press that subscribe button if you're not already. Do press like as well. That really helps us. That's really useful. By pressing subscribe, you get to watch all the videos that we do, not just the Meet the Manager videos that are designed to be there for, you know, whenever you want to watch them. They're not sort of season specific, but we've got lots of other season and game week specific ones, looking at team news in particular on a Friday, and also we've got the scout cast and captaincy, burning questions, all sorts of videos all during the week, and of course many are podcasts as well. So Jordi, thanks so much for joining me. It's been great to
chat.
It's
been a pleasure.
And especially in that perspective of being a striker as well, because it's the season of the striker. So fitting that you're here. So good luck with your game week and good luck with the rest of your season.
Yeah, thanks. Same for you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.